I know Dasher and Donner, but the most famous, wasn't that Rudolph?
Yes, of course.
Hey, this is Father Vasquez, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, and doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodox. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the NSU's mission and is brought to you by the good folks over at the Apostles Net. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Hey, if you're ready, you better not pout, you better not cry. I'm telling you why. We're taking the next step. Take it easy. Where are you running to? Why are you running so fast? Wow, can you believe we are a week off from Christmas? It's like right around the corner. I mean, things are just moving along so quickly. We're at the end of the year, but before all that, you know what's coming up this week? It is the winter solstice!
Now is the solstice of the year. When there is the clan song that you hear.
It is such a special time of year right now. I love the crispness in the air, the cold weather, the Christmas carols all around. And while most of the world is celebrating the birth of the sun, S-O-N, it's also behooves us. Oh, yeah. I love those hooves. It behooves us to remember that this is also the winter solstice, the birth of the S-U-N sun, when the days have gotten as short as possible, and now the sun is being born again. It is peeking its head out from the horizon and saying the days are now getting longer, and we are celebrating the birth of light, the birth of that sun, the birth of that warmth. That's what the solstice is all about, and today's podcast will not be about the winter solstice, but I just need to mention it.
Bring out these bells. Ring out, ring solstice bells. Ring solstice bells.
Well, I just need to mention the winter solstice because, well, it's intricately connected to the celebration of the December 25th date, and we'll be talking about that in a few minutes as our podcast proceeds. We've put together a really good show for you, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. We've got Ani coming in with her bubbles, and of course we've got our commentary. We're going to be taking a look at some of the Christmas traditions all around us, and actually a little test too. Actually, there's a lot of stuff we're going to go through. I know you're going to enjoy it. But like we do every week, we start off with a song. Something to put us in the mood. Something to get our spirits high. Well, something to really put us into focus of what we're all about. So let's try this for today.
Որ կարող ես բոլորին տրվել Ամահական անհատույցեր սայս բաժանել Գույն առանց քեզ հավատ չունի գույների հանդեպ Գույն առանց քեզ իմաստ չունի գույր հավատի պես Ձերս, բայց մաքուր ես, ադամանդի պես Ձեր արևի լուրծի ծաղնես, ոշայում ես մեզ Գիշերներին բացակ այս, բայց չես մոռանում ես, լուսնի տեսքով, աստղի ձևով ողջում ես մեզ.
I said that would put us into the mood or get us into the mood. I don't know if there's a difference putting us in or getting us in. Whatever the case, the unmistakable voice of Gor Mkhitaryan playing About Light. I thought it appropriate. Yes, we're celebrating the birth of the sun, and whether you spell it S-U-N or S-O-N, they are both the celebration of light, isn't that right? Well, About Light comes to us from his Spirit album, Gor Mkhitaryan's and the Inishu's Mission. Joint collaboration last year, we put together an album called the Spirit Album. In a few minutes, Susie will tell you how you can get your hands on a copy. And there's even time to get it before Christmas, believe it or not. But in the meantime, I hope that puts you in the mood. I needed that song because it has been a very, very rough week. I shared with you some of my disappointments last week when we went through a trial for a murder that took place literally in the shadow of the church. Just last year, one of our young girls was murdered, brutally assaulted right in Glendale, and happened to be across the street from our church, our youth ministry center over there. And I shared with you last week some of the disappointments of a justice system. And I don't want to say justice gone wrong, because justice hasn't been dealt out yet. But you see how the games are being played, and we went through quite a disappointment last week in the administration of justice. And that's how really this week began for me. And of course, the most difficult part of the week took place Sunday night. Now, Sunday was the annual Children's Memorial Service, and this is something I've been involved with for the last 12 years. Let me give you some background on it. President Bill Clinton named the second Sunday of every December as National Children's Memorial, where we remember the most tragic of losses, the loss of innocence, the loss of children, and children who are taken away before their time. Now, I don't know what that time is. I mean, I know, you know, life is... If you enjoy life, there's never enough of it, right? But these are children, people whose lives have ended abruptly, have ended early. So National Children's Memorial takes place on the second Sunday, and we in Glendale are the only Armenian church that really participates in this ceremony. And what's beautiful about it is it takes place throughout the globe. Let me tell you, the people who organize the global event, Compassionate Friends. And if you've had a loss in your family, if you've lost the tragedy of tragedies, a child, or you know somebody who has had this tragic occurrence, please put them in touch. Get in touch with the Compassionate Friends. This is an organization that has the resources, that has walked in your shoes, so they know what you're going through. CompassionateFriends.org is their web address, and like I said, they've got resources, they've got ability to plug you in and get you some comfort, get you some, well, help at a time when really you really do need it. So this Sunday in our church in Glendale, we got together, and this has been going on for the last 12 years. President Clinton named the National Memorial the second Sunday in 1997, and we began commemorating it in 1998. So for the past 11 years, 12 years, I've been involved in this, and I have to tell you that each year, this is the one event that as a priest, you know, as a pastor, anybody who's involved in church life, you know that one of the greatest happinesses that you have is when your services get filled and more people come. This is the one event that I wish would never grow. I wish it never grew. We started off back in 1998 with the tragedy, a young girl named Katya. She had died in an accident, Katya Hamparyan. She had died in an accident, and we felt that it was so important that we not just bury her memory along with her body, but keep her memory going. And I gotta be really honest with you. At that time, I had no idea what we were doing. I just knew that there was a family that was hurting and we needed to do something like this. It's now 12 years later that it's all coming out, and that's why I'm basically sharing this story with you. Because you just don't understand how God really works, and you kind of got to have the patience, which I don't. I got to really admit, I don't have the patience. But if you have the patience, you see how beautifully everything fits into place. Because this year, 12 years we've been doing it, this year it kind of all came together for me. I don't want to say it made sense for me. I think along the way it has made sense. But it all came together so that all of a sudden I understood how everything was working. Let me back up. So Katya Hamparyan, 11, 12 years ago, we remembered her in this commemoration, the first national memorial for children. We remembered one of our own, Katya Hamparyan. Well, it was only a year or two later that slowly other families who had losses, they began remembering theirs as well. And remembering Katya gave courage to others to come forward. And you know, this is Christmas time. It is really a difficult time. It is beautiful time. We love the carols. We love the trees. We love everything about it. But it is a very difficult time if you are faced with such a great loss. And so within the next few years, we saw people coming and offering more names. And our list of children that we started remembering began to grow. And certainly as a priest in my own ministry in the last 30 years, there have been, tragically, enough people that I've had to remember. I remember an Alyssa. I remember a Tamad and a Sado and so many kids that tragically, I don't know how I found the strength. This is very selfish. I don't know how I found the strength to stand up and do their services. But it was a strength that now I'm understanding that God really brings and gives to us, offers to us. It is the strength of love. Love is not something weak. It is powerful. It is strong. And it brings people together and it gives them the strength. Look at it in your lives. Love is not an expression of the weak. Love is an expression of the strong, of the brave, who are able to look at life despite all the difficulties, who are able to look at life despite all the deaths and tragedies and see that glimmer of hope, see that light that is being born in the lives of others, in the lives that we've touched. Well, it all came together this year because I want to share with you a few stories. One of them was, of course, Katya. She was the one who began this for us. And we began our service this year with Katya's mother, as she always does, the brave soul who gets up and welcomes other families who have lost children. And she got up and she welcomed everyone, but this time with a different twist. For the first time, she offered the expressions of her husband. Her husband had written his pain, his sorrow, and was sharing that through her voice. And I've got to tell you, I mean, what came through to all of us was just the importance. I mean, we all know life is important, right? But when you hear it from a father whose life was snatched from him, it has a very haunting immediacy that you better listen to this. You better get in tune with this. And we listen to it. His words telling us to take a moment to reach out and hug your children. kiss them and tell them how important they are. And so we saw a beginning of transformation, of now more people beginning to share, beginning to express. One of our speakers was Hilda Sarkisian. Now, you may know her because she's reached a national notoriety. Tragically, her daughter, Nataline, was taken from the family, age 17. She needed a transplant, a liver transplant, and the insurance company, Cigna, refused to give it because the profits weren't in their favor. And they fought, they went to court, and believe it or not, there they were, just tragically, a few hours before Nataline expired, the insurance company gave its okay, but it was too late. This life was lost. This 17-year-old died unnecessarily. She died because some insurance company valued their profits higher than human life. And so Hilda's out there. The mother is out there. Any opportunity, any microphone that she can get, an opportunity to talk about reform, talk about the necessity to put human values above profits. And in this respect, Nataline lives in the work that her mother's doing. Vahakan Setyan, here's another one. Tragically, life cut short. Another one that perhaps you've heard about because it was an actor who was inebriated, who was drunk, let's say it, he was drunk. And tragically, Vahakan's life ended at age 16. A musician, a optimist, an extraordinary young man. And his parents established the Vahakan Setyan Foundation. And in so doing, what did they do? They are giving out awards to artists who are responsible. The Responsible Artists Award, the RAA. Hey, look around you, all the artists, they get caught, they get drunk, they take drugs, and they were applauded. Vahakan's family is doing something really to counteract that. They're giving out awards to artists who are talking about decency, who are having fun, who are enjoying their lives without all of that excess. The excess of wealth, the excess of drugs and alcohol. And these people become now objects of our appreciation. Yeah, applaud them. That's what it's about, right? And so in this action, by looking at these artists, Vahakan lives. Vahakan's life continues. There is Raul Aguirre. He was killed right in front of our church. He was killed right in front of our church in the year 2000. And it was two other classmates. He was a student at the school across from our church at Hoover High. And he was killed by two other students. His mother, Leticia Aguirre, is now going around talking about forgiveness. And not only talking about it, she talks about it as a necessity for her life to continue. She went to court on the day that her son's murderers were convicted. She went and she forgave them. And those two young men, before they were sentenced, they asked Mrs. Aguirre for forgiveness and asked, may we just have a hug? I mean, the intensity. And, I share this with you. It's on our website at 7x7. In fact, all of these, Vahakan's story, and Natalie. In fact, Susie, would you make a note of that? Yes, you know what? In our show notes today, we will have all of the websites. So you don't even have to write any of this down right now. Just go to our show notes and click on the links, and you'll find them, okay? Leticia Aguirre. How about the girl that I told you about earlier? Her name was Yvette Hagopian. She died of violence. Of violence, domestic violence. Well, we established a toy drive and we gave it her name. But the toys don't go just to orphan kids or little kids. They go to kids that are in shelters, kids that have been completely forgotten by society. Nobody remembers them because the violence is usually directed towards their mothers. And in the same spirit, they now will receive toys from the Yvette Hagopian Toy Drive that's organized by our church. And finally, in all of these things became possible for us because Katya's parents gave us the opportunity to remember these children. And so all of these people are remembered. All of these children are honored because of a death that took place tragically, but that tragedy has now evolved into something that gives strength, gives hope to others. And I got to tell you, this is what it's all about. This is what the Christian message is about. You will have difficulties in your life, says our Lord Jesus Christ. You will have pain and difficulties, but courage, the victory is mine. I have overcome the world. That's in John 16. Look it up. Look at the power of those words. Look at the power of that victory. And if you can't see it there, you see it on the cross. Because just as these parents lost their children, the parent of all, God our Father, lost his child. And he didn't stop the action. He didn't stop it at all. But he showed us that at the end of that action, there was a resurrection. There was something greater. And that's what we celebrate now. When we talk about Christmas, the birth of the Son, we're talking about the celebration, right? The celebration of life that begins not in Bethlehem, not in some manger, but begins from the beginning of all eternity and therefore continues to the end of time. I am with you until the end of the ages, says our Lord. Why? Because it never ends. Love is always with us. And each of these children are with us. Yes, we remembered four or five of them right now by name. I remembered them. But tragically, on our list, there was about 100. There was about 70 of us congregated Sunday evening. And we remembered them with song, with prayer, with some recitation. And each of these lives now continues, not only in our memories, but in their ability to touch people. Because here's the ultimate one. This year, I said a few minutes ago, it kind of clicked to me that I've been doing this now for 12 years. And you know what? These children have now found a life in me. I know these children now by name. And I've got to tell you something. I probably know these children better than most people that know them. They become my children. And so each of these lives, whether it's Katya, Vahakin, Saro, Natalin, whether it's Yvette, some of the older ones that we remember, Tamar, each one of these lives are now not only affecting their families, but affecting and infecting us, the next generation. And me talking here, I hope it's affecting you. I hope it's infecting you. The power of love, the power of life. Hey, you know, I got a little bit passionate about this because I told you it was a rough week, and it wasn't only because of these personal incidences, but I have to tell you, I had a really rough time with President Obama's speech. I shared with you just a little bit last week, but I do want to share a few more thoughts about it because I have to tell you, I was insulted. Now, I'm a supporter of Obama. I campaigned for him. I personally happen to like many of his policies, but I have to tell you, I am at complete odds with what he said last week when he accepted the Nobel Peace Prize. Take a listen.
We must begin by acknowledging a hard truth. We will not eradicate violent conflict in our lifetimes. There will be times when nations, acting individually or in concert, will find the use of force not only necessary, but morally justified. I make this statement mindful of what Martin Luther King Jr. said in this same ceremony years ago. Violence never brings permanent peace. It solves no social problem. It merely creates new and more complicated ones. As someone who stands here as a direct consequence of Dr. King's life work, I am living testimony to the moral force of nonviolence. I know there's nothing weak, nothing passive, nothing naive in the creed and lives of Gandhi and King. But as a head of state sworn to protect and defend my nation, I cannot be guided by their examples alone. I face the world as it is and cannot stand idle in the face of threats to the American people. For make no mistake, evil does exist in the world. A nonviolent movement could not have halted Hitler's armies. Negotiations cannot convince Al-Qaeda's leaders to lay down their arms. To say that force may sometimes be necessary is not a call to cynicism, it is a recognition of history, the imperfections of man, and the limits of reason.
Admittedly, a very, very powerful speech given by President Obama. Admittedly, these concepts are not something that we can discuss with just a few sound bites. I there are people who have given their entire life to the study, to the research, to the development of ideas, of violence, of peace. There are people, there are saints. There are saints who have struggled with the idea of just war, who have written about it, who have lived in war-torn countries, where the war has come and touched them. There is the Dalai Lama right now who is outside, and he's outside of his own country, who has seen that violence. And all around us, we know that we live in a planet that is filled with violence. And it seems like one of the only things you can do, I mean, admittedly, we all want to take care of these things, and it seems like picking up a weapon is the quickest and fastest way. I struggle with this all the time when I think about Darfur. I think about my grandparents. And what if they did have some weapons against the Turks in genocide? What if the Darfuri people, what if there was an army that could just walk in there and take care of the Sudanese government? Well, you know, as Martin Luther King said, and President Obama so rightly remembered here in this speech, you know, it does breed violence. Violence breeds violence. Jesus said it initially, right? He says, "He who lives by the sword will die by the sword." Now, it's just an axiom. There's nothing magical about that. If you pick up the sword, that's how you're going to die too, because you're engaging in that combat. And I guess my biggest disappointment with this speech is not that he struggled with these ideas. Everybody's free to believe what they want to or whatever. But in a sense, the Nobel Peace Prize winner giving such a speech has ended a dream. Has definitively, in his words, he has definitively said, there are times when you need to go to violence. You need to pick up the sword. And I think that this signals an end of dreaming when he says that we have to confront the reality that there are bad people, there are regimes, that the only way that you can stop is through violence. That I don't know if World War II could have been stopped by nonviolent means. You know, I mean, these are very powerful things coming, and it stops us from dreaming, because, you know, that's the part that I take offense at. That's the part that I have a real difficulty with, because you do need dreamers. I mean, everything we talk about here on The Next Step is about dreams. It's about the possibilities that are out there. You need people to say, imagine there's no countries. It's not hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You need people to say that. John Lennon said, "You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one." And that's a dream that I hate to see ripped out of our souls, ripped out of our hearts, because the only thing we can look now, the only thing we can see is the solution through violence. Violence begets violence. The sword will beget a sword. He who lives by the sword will die by the sword. This is not a threat by Jesus. It's not saying that, hey, pick up the sword and I'll make sure you get killed by it. It's just an axiom. It's the way of life. And so it's okay to dream. You need to dream in your life, and we need to dream in all of our lives. Maybe it's time for us to dream of peace as a possibility that comes from light, love, and life. The things that we are celebrating this week. The birth of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Where does peace come from? The light of knowledge. Where does peace come from? The love. Us extending ourselves, loving one another. Where does peace come from? From life. Celebrating that as the highest of God's gifts, and treasuring it, that even our enemy's life is a gift from God, and learning from one another and cherishing that life.
How many wars you fighting out there this Christmas morning? Maybe there's always time for another Christmas song. Old man, he's asleep now. He's got appointments to keep now. Dreaming of his sons and daughters. Proving that the blood is strong.
Hey, let's take a little break right now and hear Susie tell us how you, me, we can all get involved in what we're doing over here. Also tell you about a great offer we have for you.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing, I want to take this opportunity to wish everyone a happy Advent season, looking ahead toward Christmas. I also want to take this moment to thank you for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations, which make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. The Next Step with Father Vazgen provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. As a way of saying thank you, our listeners, during this Christmas season, we'd like to send you the critically acclaimed Spirit album by Gor Mkhitaryan. For a tax-deductible donation of any amount, you'll receive this album, which has touched the hearts and souls of a new generation. Please visit our website, inhisshoes.org, and press on the Donate button. Or send a check to the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, 632 West Stalker Street, Glendale, California, 91202. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. In this season of Advent, we look to Christ and remember that God is always with us. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father
Vazgen.
Thanks for letting that run, Ken. I love that song. Oh, Gor Mkhitaryan's album, Spirit. Hey, it's yours, a donation. And your donation goes a long way. You know, what we do over here is really putting, it's something new. It's something that hasn't been heard of. And I got to tell you, the responses that we're getting are just incredible from all sides of the world. In fact, today I met with a bishop from Antilles. He was here in the Los Angeles area, picked up the phone, called. I mean, you know what? There is such a hunger and a need today for spirituality that can only be addressed through the Armenian Orthodox system, because the Armenian Orthodox system is not about church. It's not about religion. It's about something that goes back to the beginning of time. It's about love and that expression. You know, everything we talked about a few minutes ago, It's about the continuity of love, right? And even that's what the dream has to be. That's what the dream has to be, and that's something that we are committed to. Here at Apostle, this is our voice, the voice to In His Shoes. What is In His Shoes? It's such a simple philosophy. It's basically, if you want to love people, first and foremost, you need to respect them. Right? I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, I want to love everybody, but you can't really love people until you understand who they are, what they're doing. Walking in the shoes of others gives you that opportunity, gives you that chance to feel their pain, to understand what it's like. And in understanding, we now open the doors to our ability to love and to share with them. So that's what we're about, and I would love it if you got involved. I appreciate so much all of the kind words and thoughts, but you know, these kind of things do take effort, and there's no joke about it. It needs money and it needs capital for us to continue these things in the quality and in the type of programming that you're accustomed to receive. We're now at the 80th podcast. This podcast, as well as every other podcast we've done from the beginning of time, is archived over at apostle.net. Please join us on that website. And of course, our mothership, which is inhisshoes.org, tells you all about the good things that we're doing. Please join us. And this Christmas season, find an area where you can donate. You can give a gift to this gift that is touching the lives of so many people. Well, today's podcast is being sponsored by Pomegranate and I. Now, this is a company that specializes in handmade silver pomegranate pendants and IB jewelry. Now, that's why Pomegranate and I, that's EYEI. You got to take a look at them, because I will not do justice with these mere words. Take a look at them. You open up their website, pomegranateandi.etsy.com. They specialize in handmade silver pomegranate pendants, IB jewelry, and each silver pomegranate is handcrafted, unique, and signed. So no two pomegranates are ever the same, both in nature as well in this jewelry. And mini artwork. The pomegranate has been prevalent in Armenian art and Armenian Orthodoxy. It's a symbol of abundance and prosperity. I mean, what a beautiful gift to give anybody for the new year. Each of the bracelets at Pomegranate and I has a little mini pomegranate bead charm, and this is a wish to the wearer for the abundance of all of life's blessings. So if you're looking for that unique, one-of-a-kind gift for Christmas or any time, visit their online shop. That's pomegranateandi.etsy.com. And they're always updating their site with new items, so check them out regularly. We thank them for this sponsorship, and please mention that you heard about them on Next Step, and they'll kick over 10% of your purchase right over to us. It won't cost you a dime more. It comes right out of them, so it's kind of neat. It's win-win-win. Everybody wins, right? You get some great jewelry, we get a little donation, and they get some great, great customers, because there's no better than the people who are listening to The Next Step. Well, we've got Ani's Bubbles right now. Not necessarily a Christmas story, but, you know, most everything she talks about are Christmas stories, aren't they? They're about revelations of God. Here's Ani with today's bubble.
Today's spiritual bubble is from an 8-year-old's explanation of God. One of God's main jobs is making people. He makes them to replace the ones that die, so there will be enough people to take care of the things on earth. He doesn't make grown-ups, just babies. I think because they're smaller and they're easier to make. That way, he doesn't have to take up his valuable time teaching them how to talk and walk. He can just leave that to mothers and fathers. God's second most important job is listening to prayers. An awful lot of this goes on since some people, like preachers and things, pray at times besides bedtime. God doesn't have a lot of time to listen to the radio or TV because of this. Because he hears everything, there must be a terrible lot of noise in his ears, unless he has thought of a way to turn it off. God sees everything and hears everything, and is everywhere, which keeps him pretty busy. So you shouldn't go wasting his time by going over your mom and dad's head asking for something that they said you couldn't have. Atheists are people who don't believe in God. I don't think that there are any in Chula Vista. At least, there aren't any who come to our church. Jesus is God's son. He used to do all the hard work, like walking on water and performing miracles and trying to teach the people who didn't want to learn about God. They finally got tired of him preaching to them and they crucified him. But he was good and kind, like his father, and he told his father that they didn't know what they were doing and to forgive them, and God said, okay. His dad, God, appreciated everything that he had done and all his hard work on earth, so he told him that he didn't have to go out on the road anymore. He could stay in heaven. So he did, and now he helps his dad out by listening to prayers and seeing things which are important for God to take care of and which ones he can take care of himself without having to bother God. Kind of like a secretary, only more important. You can pray anytime you want, and they're sure to help you because they got it worked out, so one of them is on duty all the time. You should always go to church on Sunday because it makes God happy, and if there's anybody you want to make happy, it's God. And don't skip church to do something you'll think will be more fun, like going to the beach. This is wrong, and besides, the sun doesn't come out at the beach until noon anyway. If you don't believe in God, besides being an atheist, you'll be very lonely, because your parents can't go everywhere with you, like camp, but God can. And it's good to know that he's around when you're scared in the dark, or when you can't swim and you get thrown in real deep water by big kids. But you shouldn't just always think of what God can do for you. I figure, God put me here and he can take me back anytime he pleases. And that's why I believe in God. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
I told you it was a little bit different. Thank you, Ani. I appreciate you doing this because there was a reason why I asked Ani to do this particular one, because it does show a child's perception of God. It is a little bit different, right? It is not some theological masterpiece, but in all reality, Jesus does say there is a purity in those children, and those children are the ones who see the face of God. And so listen to what this little child is saying, and really kind of understand that, you know, for a child, this concept of God, concept of religion, is really something that's almost magical, mystical, and beyond themselves. Yet as we grow up, we have to have a more mature understanding of God and our relationships. And that's something that, yes, maturity does take care of in many people, but in many instances, sometimes we find comfort in looking at that child's view. And case in point is the Christmas experience. And we come to this final portion of this podcast. I want to share with you this idea of this Christmas gift. On YouTube, I have a small little Christmas message, and it's been floating around here and there, and I appreciate the comments that I'm getting on it. I guess somebody put it up on Facebook, too, so there's another audience that's looking at it beyond the next step people. But I really invite you there because you'll save some time, first of all. I don't have to repeat it over here, but I truly, sincerely mean it. It is the Jesus gift. What would Jesus want for his birthday? Yes, I'm going to have something made and tattooed to my forearm. WWJWFHB. What would Jesus want for his birthday? I mean, you know, it's such a simple little idea, isn't it? I mean, it is Jesus' birthday. Well, shouldn't we get him the gift that he would want? And surprisingly, he gives us a wish list. We find it in Luke chapter 14. He says, when you're giving a party, invite not the people who can give something back to you, but invite the lame, the blind, the poor. Invite people who have absolutely no way of giving anything back to you. And we say, why? I mean, Jesus, it's your birthday, right? Well, that's what he wants, right? That's what he wants for a party. And certainly he's demonstrated this once before, because God has given us that gift. And in giving us that gift, He knows that we have absolutely no way to pay that back, except for the love that we offer others. So it's really easy. If this is what he wants, why don't we comply? Why don't we give to others? And so this little story that Ani just read, this eight-year-old boy and his reflection of what God is certainly cute. But let me tell you about another eight-year-old boy who demonstrates really the capacity of a very mature individual. Now, I've got to tell you what he did. Goes up to his uncle and he says, "I'm concerned about homeless people. Where do homeless people live if they don't have homes?" And his uncle answered, "Well, out on the streets." He says, "Well, what do they eat? Where do they find their clothes?" And this young boy decided that this Christmas, rather than receiving gifts, he would like to give gifts. And he would like to give those gifts to the homeless. And so his uncle approached us, because we have this homeless outreach. He approached us the other day and he said, "I'm going to give a gift to the homeless in my nephew's honor." And he said, "My nephew doesn't want his name remembered, just wants these gifts to be given." He says, "But please write him a small little note," and I certainly will, "to tell him that this was done." His uncle showed up with 250 sweatshirts, 250 mittens, 250 sweatpants, 250 hats, and 480 pairs of socks. I don't know where the 480 came in, but we had a lot. So this week when we went out on our homeless run, the In His Shoes group, they took out all of this clothing and passed it out. And, you know, some of those people that go out there, they're regulars, whether it's Susie, Anush, Coco. We have a regular group, Nadeg and Ned, and we have a group that is out there on the streets distributing. And you know what? You got to get online and read some of their comments, because occasionally they'll blog about it, they'll tell you about it, and we try to put it up on In His Shoes too. What's so beautiful about it is their interaction with people. We've said many times, you can't be a Christian alone. A Christian has to exist in community. And certainly these people are existing in that ultimate community, giving to people who have absolutely no way to give back. And so these gifts were given out. This clothing were given out to the homeless. And that little eight-year-old could have been the happiest little eight-year-old in the world, because the same money that was going to all this would have certainly bought him a lot of nice games, a lot of nice toys. But instead, he sacrificed those toys to give to others. And, you know, I got to tell you, I'm very proud of him. I want to tell you it's because I baptized him, but that certainly wouldn't be true. Or I don't know if that's true, but the graces of the Holy Spirit are very mystical. I could tell you it's because of his parents, his grandparents, maybe his uncle, all of which can be true. But you know what's important is that this child on his own, yes, you could be inspired, you can get pushed many ways, but this child on his own made that decision at 8 years old. And that's why I'm saying that's a very, very mature individual who is able to give of him or herself. And that's what I'm calling on each and every one of us this Christmas season. I know there are so many of you out there that do to others, that really give to others. May that be an inspiration so that others look at you and say that that is something I want to emulate. I want to do too. That is a Christian life out there. And I know that there are so many of you that want to do it. Take advantage of this season. Don't hold back. Give to others. And don't think that your giving has to be anything extravagant. If it can't be 250 socks, let it be one pair of socks. Let it be two pairs of socks. Let it be your time. Have you ever thought about taking a backgammon board? We call it a tavlu board, or nardi dakhtag. Taking it into an old age home. and sitting down with somebody and playing a game of checkers, of anything, giving your time, reading to a young kid, spending some time with your family. It's the expression of giving of yourself. And that's why when we call out for giving money, you know, where's that money? Well, yes, it goes out there and it helps the ministry. But in the same way, it also is your expression of giving of yourself. And in so doing, you realize that you're giving to something greater than yourself. That you acknowledge that there is something greater than yourself. The ego gets squelched, gets put away, and you start looking at the manger. You start looking at that little child in the manger who preaches love, who gives love as the King of Kings, the greatest, the most important. That's the foundation of Armenian Orthodoxy. Because, you know, I've said many times, here is a group of people that shouldn't be around. Armenian people should not be around because of all the injustice, because of all the rapes, the pillaging, because of all the genocide and wars that have gone on in that country. They have had absolutely no military power. They've had no military strategy, and yet they've existed. Not only existed, but today are building, are creating their futures. They are people who in every divine liturgy turn around to the congregation and share a blessing of peace unto all. Chagahutyun aminestun. It's a blessing and it is a wish to everyone. There is no other liturgy that includes that so many times. Why? Despite all of those things, because they've put their faith in the power of love, in the power of life, in the power of light. That light is knowledge, that love is compassion, and that life is the ultimate gift of God. Hey, on behalf of all the wonderful people who put this podcast together, I really want to wish you the best of this Christmas season. As we've said many times, it's not a question of December 25th, January 6th, January 19th, or August 5th. It's all about making Jesus alive and making Jesus be born in your life every single day, every breathing moment that you have. And celebrating that gift that God has given us, that gift of life. I had so much to talk to you about today. I did tell you about Leo Laporte, and we had some podcast information. What's the rush? We'll hold off until the new year. We'll do that next year. Come join us this next Thursday. It'll be Christmas Eve, and I have a very special Christmas Eve podcast for you. Join us on epostle.net. You know, we've got all kinds of archive stuff. We are now doing weekly Bible studies, and each one of those are archived. You can see those under the broadcast tab. If you go to the archive tab, you can hear this podcast as well as every other podcast we've put together. And, you know, it's just an opportunity for you to come and share with people. Please share it. You know, take a moment, take it, and post it on Facebook, post it wherever you're at. And there's so many social networks. Tweet it out to people. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. There's all kinds of places that you can hang out with us. You know, this is the miracle of the net. But hey, let me tell you, speaking about hanging out, please reserve Martin Luther King weekend. We are having our annual retreat. It's going to be up in Goleta, right above Santa Barbara. Incredible weekend. We've got speakers. We've got just a great weekend planned for you. And I'll tell you, people who have been to our retreat always walk away spiritually uplifted, but changed forever. Really, plan on being with us. That's Martin Luther Weekend 2010. That's coming up in about a month. So get on our website and you can make your reservations. Just a great, great weekend to be with some friends and some good Christian living. It's up at a retreat center too. Wow! Up in the mountains! Wow! In the middle of winter! Wow! Too many wow things going on over here. Hey, listen, it has been a pleasure to be with you today. Did you like that music we've been playing around in the background? That's from the Jethro Tull Christmas album, and that's available at all good retailers, anywhere good music is sold. And also the other songs you want to pick up from the Spirit album. Go to our website, inhisshoes.org, or of course, at any place good music is sold. That's Gor Mkhitaryan's Spirit album. Hey, listen, for the wonderful people who make this podcast a reality, I want to thank you for joining us. For Susie, our producer, for Ken up in the booth wearing his red hat today with the little pom-pom at the end, and for our bubble, the bubbly pom-pom, Ani, and for all the people in the background, like people like Varujan who put this music together, I want to thank you for joining us. Join us again next week at the Christmas Eve edition of The Next Step. And together we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.